Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise you the Lord. Yes, you're now once again tuned into Are You is Personal. Are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown, Jr. We do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock p.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, I have none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. He will be bringing forth God's word on tonight once again. So please get your Bibles, get your pens and your paper ready so that you can follow along with this awesome man of God as he gets ready to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. We always open up in prayer. I'm asking all listeners if you would touch and agree with me in prayer on tonight, because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. Heavenly Father, here we are, your children, coming together once again, touching and agreeing and realizing that you are God all by yourself. You have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. We thank you for who and all that you are. We bless your name because you are truly worthy of our praise. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we come asking now in the name of Jesus that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson and his entire family, and every saved believer and every faithful doer of your word on tonight all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. We come to you now, Heavenly Father, thanking you for your grace and your mercy. We also thank you for your sufficient grace that you extend to each one of us, even though we know we don't deserve it. But we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We come now, Heavenly Father, lifting up all those that are bereaved on tonight. I continue to lift up my older sister Janice and my niece Crystal, as her husband made his heavenly transition on November the 29th. We thank you that you allowed us to drive safely to Massachusetts and arrive back home safely. So we now lift up her and her daughter to you right now in the name of Jesus, that you will comfort and strengthen them, not only for my sister and niece, but all those that have lost loved ones for whatever reasons all over the land. We ask that you will comfort and strengthen them as only you can in the name of Jesus. Let them all feel your peace, your joy, your strength, even as they grieve and go through their hour of bereavement. Help them to remember your word that lets us know that there's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your spirit, touch, heal, and strengthen all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We thank you that you are who you are, and therefore we don't have to send you anywhere because we know that you're already there. So touch, heal, and deliver, and strengthen your people as only you can in the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, we pray that your word will go forth with power on tonight through your man of God, our overseer Joseph E. Jackson, on this internet broadcast on tonight, that you would be glorified, that souls would be saved, backsliders would come back to the fold, that the body of Christ would be built up and strengthened and edified through your word on tonight, that you will get the glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we do have another scripture food for thought, and it comes to us saying on tonight, stay away from negative people. They have a problem for every solution. Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Stay away from negative people. They have a problem for every solution. I welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note that I do not own the copyrights to any songs or music played on this worldwide ministry platform. That being said, I'm going to allow Overseer Joseph B. Jackson whatever time he needs to deliver this word on tonight. But wait, I'm not going to do a music break song. I will do a closing song instead. I'm going to yield the mic now to Overseer Jackson. I now yield the mic to you to deliver God's word.
Good evening. Good evening. God bless you. I'm kind of chuckling on this end because I was just getting up to go to do something when you turned around and said, "I'm going to turn it into his hands." I said, "Oh, my God, let me rush back." I was just getting ready to go do something. You know how you're near the kitchen, you say, "Well, maybe I need to get this," and I said, "Well, I guess he says you won't do that now." But we honor the Lord tonight.
I can do a music song if you need me to.
We're fine. I just thought it was funny. That's all. Don't worry about it. We honor the Lord tonight for the privilege of being with you, and we certainly thank you for this opportunity. We don't take it for granted. You could have invited anybody in the world to speak, but you saw fit to ask me, and I'm just so grateful for the privilege of being able to talk to God's people once more and again. We honor God and we praise him. We magnify him for his goodness, his mercy, and his kindness. He's kept us another week. I don't know what's happening in your city, but I know D.C. has lost its mind. People are just doing crazy things. We're hearing about shootings every day. Young people being shot on the streets. Young people taking guns and trying to carjack people and doing different crazy things. So much is happening. If you don't realize the times in which you live, you better start realizing it now, because the Bible said in the last days, as it was in the so shall it be, so shall it be before the Son of Man comes back. And you've got to understand Jesus is on his way back again. You can look around and you can see what's happening with these. They're talking about climate change, but I got news for you. Things are happening. We heard about the tornadoes that hit Florida and other areas. You better be aware of what's happening. Jesus is coming back, and there's no time to play games anymore. Too many of us have played church long enough. Ain't no time now. He's on his way back again. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify. We glorify your name. And we bless you for your goodness. We bless you for your kindness. And we bless you for your mercy. This is the day that you've made, and we're going to be glad and rejoice in it. God's been good, he's been kind, and he has been gracious, and we are so, so grateful. We're asking you now in the name of Jesus to look on us in a special way, asking you to look on your people all over the land, God. There's tornadoes and other things touching down, and we're asking you to speak to the wind, even as your son did. Speak to the wind. And turn things around. Folks, Father, are in trouble today, but we need your help in a special way. And we're asking you now, have mercy. Let your mercy prevail in the name of Jesus. Wherever there's a sick person, God, we ask you to touch them right now. We heard about Stitch yesterday, Ellen's DJ, Father, who had everything in the world to live for. But God, he took his own life. Even after you said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly," help the people now to see, glory to God, that they can turn to you. We ask that in this season of depression and grief, God, that you lift it now. Lift that spirit of suicide and rebuke that madness and send it back to the pit of hell from whence it's come. God, spare your people in the name of Jesus. You know what's on the other side. You heard the Bible say, you wrote it. You said hell is enlarging itself. God, help your folks now. Help us to be real and help us to point these people to who you are, so that, Father, they might have the joy of the salvation that we have. We ask it now in the name of Jesus. Now touch me. Oh, God, touch me. I can't do this without you. Touch me. In the name of Jesus, less of me and more of you. God, I thank you for Brother Brown and for what he's doing and for the broadcast that he's putting out to the world. We ask that you would bless him in an unusual way next year. Make this ministry blow up in such a way that it will even surprise him. In Jesus' precious name, we pray, and we thank you, God. Amen.
Amen.
I want to bring this message in this holiday season because it's an important one. I'm discovering something, and I'm going back to what the book said we used to do. The Bible said that we have to deliver the word to the saints as they did years ago. In other words, we have to feed the folks what God wants them to hear. Well, enough of this prosperity. We all know how to get wealth. The Bible said it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. But what good is wealth if you don't have him? The Bible says, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Just read about a rapper the other day, 26 years old, well, 22 years old. And because he can rhyme, he had a bank account of $26 million, but he got shot to death. And now he's in eternity. He went where he prepared to go. And the question today is, are you prepared? Are you getting prepared? Because God made a promise, and we're going to talk about that promise tonight. He made a promise. He loved you so much that he made a promise. When the enemy messed up, he made a promise. And thank God he keeps his promise. The Bible said God is not a man that he should lie. If he made a promise, my God, he'll keep it. Out of the book of Genesis, the first, out of the book of beginnings, book and chapter 3, verse 14, read a few verses of that. It says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, I will put division between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. The second scripture comes from Isaiah, the 7th chapter. He says, later the Lord sent his message to King Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahaz. Make it as difficult as you want, as high as heaven or as deep as the place of the dead. But the king refused. No, he said, I will not test the Lord like this. Then Isaiah said, listen well, you royal family of David. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? And right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
And yes, sir.
The message tonight simply is, and God kept his promise. And God kept his promise. Let me define the word promise. Sometimes we got to define words, and I tell people all the time that when you read the word of God, have a Webster's dictionary near you, because many times you will see words that you think you know, but when you look them up, it makes a difference as to what the scripture actually says, because it actually gives you a greater meaning. And so when I use the term promise, let's define it as a declaration that one will do refrain from doing something that's specified. In other words, it's a declaration that said, I'm going to do something or I'm not going to do something. It's a legally binding declaration. It gives the person to whom it is made a right to expect or to claim the performance of the forbearance of the specified act. That's just large words for saying. That if I make a promise to you, it's a binding contract between you and myself. so that I can expect to receive what you said you were going to do. If you said you were going to do something, I'm expecting you to do it, because we've now entered into a binding contract. And the third meaning makes it even clearer. It says a reason to expect something. I'm expecting something because you promised me. Now you know, when I came up, they taught us that your word was your bond. They told us that if you said yes, it was yes. Like the Bible said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. If you say you're going to do something, say something. I found out that it was wise to keep a promise. Remember, children, especially at this time of the year, and I remember when I was growing up, when it came time for a birthday or when it came time for Christmas, my father would ask me, what do you want? And I would tell him what I wanted. And he would say, okay, I'm going to get it for you. And the next word that came out of my mouth was, Dad, you promise? And he would say, yes, son, I promise. And when I heard him say, I promise, it meant that I had a right to expect that he was going to do what he said he was going to do, because my father promised me. He made me a promise. And when my birthday came, I was looking for that promise to be fulfilled. Men give women an engagement ring, and it is a promise that at some point, at some future date, he will marry you. In other words, he's taking you off the market because he's put a ring on your finger saying that I promise to marry you. That's why it's called an engagement ring. At some future date, we will become one. I promise you. That's why he gives her the ring. Now you discover also promises are real in every sense of the word. Dionne Warwick sang years ago, for those of us who like all kinds of music, Dionne said, promises, promises. She sang a song called Promises, Promises. That's all you make is promises. I heard Jennifer Hudson sing a song the other day. He promised me a home on high. He promised me a home on high. He promised to do something spectacular for me. He promised me. Let me show you what God promises you. Like that we used to sing a song, standing on the promises of Christ my King. He promised me. God loves you so much, and then we'll get right into the message, but God loved you so much, the Bible said, that he made you a promise. He said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, you believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to before you, and if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself. He promised. And too many of you are trying to stay here. He promised you. He told you this land was not yours. He told you you were just a sojourner here, but yet many of us are trying to stay here. We're acting like we ain't got no place to go. But the Bible says he made a promise that he's going to keep his promise, because he turned around and said, I've got a place for you on high. And he said, and if I go, I will come again. We've stopped telling people that the rapture is taking place, but I got news for you. Jesus is on his way back. He promised. And he cannot lie. The Bible told me that when they taught that kind of lesson years ago, we purified ourselves. We looked at ourselves daily, and we sang songs like, if you find anything that's in me that's not like you, take it out. Search me, Lord. We didn't play with sin. We called sin what it was, and we acted like it was something that was a deterrent to us, and it was not like today. America is in trouble. She's going down a slippery slope. And by that, I simply mean this. You look at the laws that she's now enacting. When I came up, If you were in the closet, you stayed in the closet. You didn't let nobody know where you were coming from. But today they're talking about a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. I don't care what kind of law you put on the books. God said no. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes back. Let's go to the scripture now that I read. You have to go back to the very beginning. Because in the Garden of Eden, we don't know where Adam was that day. But he left Eve alone. And when he left her alone, Satan decided that he was going to come and to speak to her. Because he wanted to get her to do what God told her not to do. And so he waited until Adam was away from her. Her protector was away. And he came in the form of a snake. Now, the Bible says that the devil can transform himself into any kind of thing that he wants to be. The Bible talks about that great dragon. The Bible says he can become an angel of light. The Bible says he can become whom he wants to become in order to do what he said he was going to do. What's his purpose? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he took that opportunity with Eve when he went to Eve and said, didn't God say? And he twisted mm-hmm. God's word.
That's right.
And told Eve, you know, if you eat off that tree that he told you not to eat off of, he told you that for a purpose because he didn't want you to become like him. And he, the Bible said he beguiled her. That's why the Bible said you got to know the wiles of the devil. The devil has had 2,000 years to practice on how to deceive folks. So don't play with him.
I know that's right.
He's better than you. You don't know how to, you can't play his game because he knows all the tricks of the trade. And Eve fell for it. And she turned around and she ate the fruit from the tree. Now, everybody wants to say it's an apple, but the Bible doesn't tell you what it was. She just ate from the tree. And mm-hmm. she got Adam to do the same thing. God, Adam had been alone so long until when Eve came to him and looked at him and batted her eyes and said, you don't want me to get in trouble by myself, do you?
Mm.
And Adam knew what it was like to be lonely, and he turned around and he said, well, okay, baby, and he ate from the tree, and the Bible said, and their eyes were opened, and they got in trouble with God because they brought sin into the world. And it was then that God met them and turned around and made a promise. He said, you know what? I've got to cast you out of the garden. Because I'm afraid next you might go and eat from the tree of life, then you'll live forever, but you'll live forever in sin. So I've got to put you out of the garden. He said, but I want you to know you broke the line of communication between us. But I love you too much to just let you go. I'm going to make sure that I fix this. And it'll mean that my son will have to die for you. But I want you to know I'm going to bring you out of this because I love you enough to know that even though you're messed up, I've made a plan to bring you back into alignment with me. My son will deal with this issue, but you got to go. You got to go. You got to go. He made him a promise that his son would fix the situation. Then you come down the line to where Isaiah has talked to King Ahaz. Ahaz, you got to know the story. Ahaz got in trouble because some kings got together and they wanted to come against him and to take his land away from him. And he did not know how he was going to confront these kings because they had more men than he had. And he got nervous and he got afraid. So that lets me know sometimes you can be anxious, even though the Bible says be anxious for nothing. Certain circumstances can come in your life that'll make you walk the floor at night.
Yes, Lord.
Make you look around and wonder how you gonna make it through the storm that you're facing. But Ahaz had enough sense to know that there was a prophet in the land to God on his behalf. And Isaiah came to him and said, Ahaz, God's gonna fix this for you. Don't worry about it. Didn't the Bible say that no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper? God's got a plan. Didn't God tell you to tell Jeremiah, I got a plan for you. I got to bring you to an expected end. I didn't mean any evil for you. I got a plan for you. And so God turns around and says, through the prophet, I'll fix this. And Isaiah says, I need you to ask God. I want you to do like Gideon. Put God to the test. You can ask him anything you want to ask him. Make it as hard as possible, because he'll do it to prove that he's going to bring you out of this circumstance.
Yes, he will. I'm a witness.
Ahaz looked at him and tried to be cute and said, no, I'm not going to tempt God. And Isaiah looked at him and said, you trying to be cute, brother. But that ain't working today. He said, you tested my patience, and now you're testing the patience of God. I told you what to do, and you trying to be cute. But let me tell you what God said. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. What he was telling Ahaz was, I'm going to keep my promise that I made to Adam and Eve, but I gave the promise, but I'm making the promise to you as well. But I'm announcing it to you. I'm announcing the promise to you that one day my son is coming to turn things around. And so all I'm saying tonight to somebody is, have you accepted the promise that he has given to each and every one of us? Why would you continue in sin when God has made a way of escape for you? Somebody asked me the other day, I serve a God that's a good God. I said, I do too. Mm-hmm. He said, I serve a merciful God. I said, I do too. He said, but my God will not cast up into a fiery furnace, and my God will not condemn a person for their sin. I said, we don't serve the same God. We don't serve the same God. I said, because I remember the song that the saints used to sing, the Bible is right and somebody's wrong. I said, It's obvious. You haven't read the word. You haven't read the word. And the Bible said, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. If you don't read the word, you don't know the word. How are you going to stand on a promise that you don't know about? Got to put your face in the book. Take your face out of the Facebook and put your face in his book.
Learn
the promises so that when you go through a crisis or a situation, you'll see the standard that he'll raise so that you can make it through the storms and through the trials and the tribulations that are going to come against you, because his word will tell you, I'm going to be there for you. You'll learn how to rest in him because you trust his word. You can't work what you don't know. We sang a song, Standing on the Promise, but some of y'all are just standing in the premise. In other words, you're standing in the building, but you don't even have a hold of the word. But God told you, he said, you know what? I loved you so much that I didn't want to see you cast into the lake of fire, because in the book of Revelation, it does say that when the great white throne judgment came, the books were open. Everything you did, every word you said, has been written down in the book of life and the book of works. And the Bible says, in that day they shall be open. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you will be damned.
Lord Jesus.
He said, the Bible said, he will cast you along with Satan into the lake of fire that burns forever. The rich man found that out. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? He wouldn't give Lazarus anything to eat, and the Bible said they both died. And the thing that was interesting was Lazarus was ushered into the presence of God by the angels, but the Bible said in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes and in torment cried out, have mercy, but the mercy would not come. Too many of y'all are playing with your souls. I'm dead set on telling people the truth. I'm sorry. I can't tell you that about money tonight. That's not my thing tonight. The thing is Jesus came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. My heart broke when I heard about Stitch killing himself. Where is he tonight in eternity? I don't know, but He went where he prepared to go. And the question is, where will you go?
That's right.
My grandmother, that I'll never forget, she turned around and she said to me, she said, you know, there are only two places that we go after death, heaven and hell. And she said, just as fatback is greasy, you ain't going to miss them both. You're going to slide into one or the other. You won't miss them both. And so my question tonight is, have you accepted his promise? He promised you. He promised you that if you got sick, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee of all of thy diseases. He told you that when trouble came, be anxious for nothing, for God cares for you. He told you, casting all your cares upon me, I'm caring for you. I made a promise that I'd be there for you. I made a promise that I'd make a way out of no way. I made a promise that I would help you in a time of trouble. I made a promise, and I'm keeping my promise to all of those who will accept me as Lord and Savior. Why would you go through all that you're going through in life without being able to fall back on a promise? I thank God for that promise tonight, because that promise kept me. That promise has brought me through 76 years of life. That promise did for me what it didn't do for other people. I heard my pastor say years ago, God will let you live with what other people die from. And it wasn't until the other day when I learned about the man who was the radio personality who loved to talk about soccer. He was in the booth talking about the soccer games that were taking place and dropped dead of a heart attack.
That's right.
But 8 years ago, I had a silent heart attack, and today I'm still talking to you because God spared my life. Why? Because I stood on a promise. And I stood on his word. When he spoke to me and told me, when I thought it was my blood pressure, he says, no, it's death. And when he said death, he turned around and said, Hezekiah. And when he said Hezekiah, I knew the story about how Hezekiah was told by the prophet, get your house in order because the sickness you have is unto death. You're going to die. And the prophet turns around and walks out of the building. But Hezekiah fell on the floor, turned his face to the wall, and copped a plea, and God gave him 15 more years. And because I knew that story, I was able to fall on the floor, turn my face to the wall, and pray to God, Lord, give me back my life. And to tonight I'm speaking to you to tell you that God will make a promise and keep it.
Yes, he will.
He told you, thou shalt not die but live. Why? So that you can declare the goodness of God. He made a promise to you. And God can't lie. And the Bible said, even though he's made a promise and it hasn't come to pass right now, he said, wait on it. Though the vision tarry, you've got to learn to wait on it. What did he say? Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he would strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. It hasn't come, but I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. He made a promise to me. I don't have anything. The food prices are enormous, and I don't know how I'm going to make it. But David said, I was once young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Then he picked up his pen and he wrote, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You ain't giving me no job. God knows how to touch the person who has the job in his hand to make it possible for you to have the job. How do I know? Because I've been in that position.
Me too. Yes, sir.
When I was going to college and didn't have funds in order to go to school, my grandmother worked for a Jewish fella who asked one day about me, how is Joe doing? And she told him he's working two jobs trying to go back to school. He said, send him to me. And I went to him, and he sat me down, and he said, you want to go to school? I said, yes, sir. He said, go back to school and send me the bill. And for three years, he paid the bill. When I got out of school, I needed to get a job, and I had left to come back to D.C. and the woman, somebody had given me a contact. See, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered of God. They're ordered. God will put you into positions where folks who have will give you what you need to have. In other words, favor ain't fair, but God will give you favor to get
yes,
the thing that you need to have if you learn how to trust him and stand on his promise. I went to see the lady. The lady told me she didn't have a job, but I sat with her for over an hour, and you don't sit with lawyers, with administrators in law firms for an hour, but I sat with her for an hour, and she said, come and go with me. She took me into another office and told the woman, hire him. Create a job for him. When they told me there was no job, she created one on the spot.
I've been there before.
God will do for you what he won't do for others. He'll step over 30,000 in order to just do something for you.
Yes, he will.
He'll do it if you let him. But you've got to learn how to trust him. You got to learn how to trust him when you can't trace him. God, I don't see you. You don't have to see me. Just know that I'm there. I told you I'll be with you in the midst of your trouble. You don't have to see me. Just know that I got you. I got your back. I got your back. He told you the goodness and mercy. His twin angels were guarding you and taking you where you had to go. But there's nothing on your back, but I'm there. He said, I got your back. I got your back. Don't worry about it. I got your back. I got your back. I got your back. Why? Because I'm standing on the promises that he kept. When you look back over your life and see what the Lord has done, you ought to be able to lift your hands and say thank you. The last thing I want to say is this.
Thank you, Jesus.
One night, one starry night, a young girl by the name of Mary got a visitation from Gabriel, God's right-hand man. And he went to Mary and said, Mary, I got news for you, girl. You're highly favored. Of all the people in the world, God looked upon you.
Yes.
He said, you know, I can imagine he looked back in this time and said, Mariah Carey wants to be the queen of Christmas, but I'm going to tell you who the real queen of Christmas is going to be. Mary, it's going to be you, because God is going to allow you to have his son be the conduit to which he brings Jesus into the world. Not only will he save the world, but he's going to save you too, Mary. You may birth him, but he got to save you too, because you need to be saved. You're going to be saved as well as the rest of the folk.
Yes, Lord. Mary,
but Mary, I got a plan for you, girl. But know this, and look at what happened. It blew my mind. I listened to the pentatonic singer song said, Mary, did you know? And when I heard the words, tears started streaming down my eyes, because it said, when you kissed that child, you kissed the face of God. Did you know that your son was going to save you and save the world? Did you know your son was going to be the miracle worker that he was? Did you know that your son was going to give sight to the blind? Did you know that your son was going to make the lame walk? Did you know that those that could not speak would speak because your son would lay his hands upon him? Did you know, Mary? Did you know? Did you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Did you know that when you said yes to the will of God, that you put your life in danger? Did you know that, Mary? Did you know you would put your life in danger because you said yes to God? When you come up pregnant and Joseph knows that it was not his doing, you put your life in jeopardy, Mary, because he could have had you stoned to death.
Oh, yes.
Because you were his betrothed. You were legally really married to him, and he knows that baby ain't his. Mary, you got to explain to your mom and dad after you come back from visiting Elizabeth how you became pregnant. You got to explain. And the people in the neighborhood who know you as Miss Goody Goody, when they see your stomach, Mary, they're going to start to talk. And you're going to have a name in this town, girl. Did you know, Mary? Because God made a promise that you're going to have to go through, and I'm through. Sometimes when God wants you to do something or has commissioned you to do something, all hell will break out against you. Folk that you thought were your friends won't be your friends. They'll talk about you and stab you in the back and do all kinds of crazy things about you. You got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you got a hold of a wonderful Savior. I'm so grateful for this time of the year. I'm so grateful. And in closing, let me say this. I see on Facebook the folks are fighting the Christmas season. They're talking about there is no such thing as that Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. We got no business celebrating that it's a pagan holiday. But let me tell you something. Let me explain something to you. No, Christmas is not in the Bible, just like the rapture word is not in the Bible, but it talks about the great snatching away. So we celebrate, we take the time to celebrate his birth. We know he wasn't born on December 25th. We know that.
That's right.
Archaeology tells us that he wasn't born at that time of the year, but the world has taken that date as a date to commemorate the fact that he was born. If you know anything about the slavery that took place in America, many of the slaves, because they were born illegitimately, never knew their birth date. But they would take a day of the year and choose it and say, this is the day I was born, even though they were not. They celebrated it on that day because they celebrated the fact that they were alive. And that's all we're doing, celebrating the fact that he lives. And so we want to take this time to use it to tell people there is a Savior.
There is.
I wish somebody had gotten to Stitch. I want you to keep my niece in prayer because she suffers a bout of depression. And I'm praying that God will lift that bout off of her. I'm praying that God will do for her what needs to be done.
Yes,
there's so many people at this time of year, so many people who have lost loved ones, who are just going through. The spirit of suicide is real, folks. It's real.
Yes, sir.
Real. And unfortunately, the church doesn't have the gift of discernment that it once had. God help give it back to us so that when we see folks that are in trouble, we can offer them a word of encouragement.
Amen.
Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. Life is worth living.
Yes,
Father,
is.
We thank you, we praise you, we magnify, we glorify your name, we bless you. And we thank you for your darling son, Jesus. We thank you for keeping your promise. Oh, God, we could count on you. You kept your promise. And we thank you for Jesus, for his birth,
yes,
but especially for his death and his resurrection. We thank you,
Lord,
that he still sits at your right hand. Oh, God, making intercession for each and every one of us. We thank you. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy toward us. Now be with us, won't you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. Overseer Jackson, thank God he did it again through you on tonight. I just want to say something to you on tonight. You had no idea, but as I heard you talking about those twin angels, grace and mercy, do you not know that on this past Sunday at my church, we had a guest minister that came in and delivered the word on this past Sunday? And that's what you're talking about, the twin angels, grace and mercy. And here you go, talking about them twin angels, grace and mercy again on tonight. I just got tickled when I heard him say that, because that came back to my remembrance, what he preached about on this past Sunday.
All right.
But we just thank God for who he is. We thank God that he is a promise keeper. We thank God for his son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, because we do know that Jesus is the reason for this season.
Yes, we don't
actually know the date that Jesus was actually born. That's not important right now. The point is,
and
the main fact is that he was born.
He was born.
And he came with a purpose. That's right. And he came with a purpose, and he fulfilled that purpose on
the
cross.
Yes, he did.
He bled, suffered, and died and paid our sin debt on the cross. And not only that, but he died for us. And then, like you just said, he not only died, he came out of the grave with the victory over death, hell, and the grave in his hands. And he's now sitting at the right hand of God, making intercessions for the saints of God on tonight. Thank God he rose and he lives. There's a song that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Yes, I thank God for you on tonight, Overseer Jackson. Thank God for this word that you have just delivered. I received this word, and I know that every listener, those that have dialed in and those that are listening in from social media platforms around the world, have received this word, a much-needed word for such a time as this. So what I'm getting ready to do right now is open up the phone lines, Overseer Jackson. I know that a lot of people that do dial in to the show, a lot of them do not speak. They do not say anything. But we thank God for every listener that faithfully dials in. Right now, the phone lines are open for anyone that has dialed in tonight. If you dial in, this morning,
the Constitution, in order to guarantee.
Hello? Praise the Lord. Someone needs to turn your TV down. Someone in the background needs to turn your TV down. Turn the volume down on your TV, please. Please turn the volume down on your TV. So the phone lines are open now for anyone that's going to have words for Overseer Jackson pertaining to tonight's word. The phone lines are open. Praise the Lord. Anyone? I'm going to see how can I mute somebody's phone in the background because somebody's got their TV on in the back. Okay, I think I got that one. Okay, anyone, the phone lines are open. If you have words for Overseer Jackson for tonight's word, if you receive this word, you can speak now and let him know. Well, I do want to say that I see my cousin Mary Ann King from Greensboro, North Carolina, is on the line. We know that she was in the hospital and she was
great. Lord, thank you.
Was someone speaking? Anyone? I don't want to miss the opportunity for someone to say something. The phone lines are open. Well, as I said earlier, we do have a lot of listeners that do dial in and they don't say anything, but we thank God for you for dialing in and receiving this God's word on tonight. We thank God for you. And right now, we're going to pray and we're going to touch and agree that God will touch the niece of Overseer Jackson. He knows what she's going through. And we do know that God is a promise keeper. He's a mind regulator. He is a keeper.
Yes.
So we're going to ready to close out in prayer. Once again, Overseer Jackson, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come forth over this platform on tonight once again to share another word from the Lord on tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word that has gone forth through your man of God, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson, on tonight. We now pray and lift up his niece to you, Heavenly Father. You know what she's going through, and you promised in your word, because you are a promised people, you said in your word that you would not put no more on us than we're able to bear. But we're trusting your word, Heavenly Father, knowing that you're able. You said we can cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. So as he has requested, we're touching and agreeing as sisters and brothers in Christ, along with Joseph, overseer Joseph E. Jackson on tonight regarding his niece, that you would keep her mind, Lord. You said you would keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on you. We consider to lift up the family of Brother Twitch, Heavenly Father, that took his own life on the other day. As Overseer Jackson said in the word on tonight, we don't know where his soul is resting on tonight, but we pray and hopefully that he had a relationship with you and that he will be able to rest and spend eternity in glory. So we just lift up his family, Heavenly Father, to you, his wife and children, and all those that truly loved him and cared about him. Not only him, but all those that are suffering from mental depression and anxiety and having suicidal thoughts. We lift them up to you right now in the name of Jesus. You know who they are. You know where they are. You know what they're going through. So once again, we thank you for being a promise keeper. We thank you for being a burden bearer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are keeping your word. You're watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people that are faithful doers of your word and not just hearers only. So now, Lord, we pray and thank you for allowing this ministry to be heard through prisons all over the United States. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the open doors that are opening now that we will soon be able to do live streaming from Facebook as well as Blog Talk Radio, as well that the listeners, they can see me and they can see my guests as they deliver your word on Facebook coming soon. So we thank you in advance for what you're doing through this worldwide platform. It is marvelous in our eyes. It's not of our doing. It is of your doing. So we just give you the glory, honor, and praise. Continue to have mercy upon your people. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ, your Son, came into the world for a purpose, and he fulfilled that purpose on the cross. He bled, he suffered, and he died. He was humiliated for us. He was brutalized and scandalized and lied upon and spat upon for us. As human beings, as sinful people, as sinful men, women, boys, and girls in the earth, he came to die for us, and he did that on the cross. And he died for us, and he rose for us with the power, the victory over death, hell, and the grave in his hands. And thank you that he's now sitting at your right hand making intercessions for the saints of God on tonight. For this we give you glory, honor, and praise that our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus, our soon-coming King, was actually born into the world in the form of a flesh, in the form of a baby, to pay our sin debt on the cross. For this we give you glory, honor, and praise. So now, Lord, we pray and let's ask that you will continue to move by your spirit through this worldwide platform and ministry. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully dials in, even though they may not say anything. We thank you for them that they took time out to dial into the show to hear your word, and all those that are listening through social media platforms around the world, continue to bless them all and grant them all the desires of their hearts, that we give you glory, honor, and praise is our prayer in Jesus' name. I continue to lift up my sister Janice and her daughter, my niece Crystal, as her husband made his heavenly transition on November the 29th. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you allowed some of me and my siblings to drive up to Amherst, Massachusetts, and be with them for a few days, and I'll drive back home safely. So for this, we give you glory, honor, and praise as well. Continue to comfort and strengthen all those that are bereaved all over the land. Continue to touch, heal, and strengthen and my sister Jeanette Jones and her entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox, his COVID virus and other illnesses. Continue to restore them by their faith in you, that you will heal them once again, and they will not be afraid to be a witness for you. Let the world know that it's you who have healed them again, delivered them, and set them free is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, once again on tonight, I pray that you remember that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. So continue to encourage one another in God's word, not with your feelings, not with your opinion, but with God's word. And when you do it that way, you can't go wrong. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. This coming Saturday night, you want to tune in and be blessed by this awesome author. 40 years in prison, but she actually only spent 4 years in prison. God made a way for her to be released. She had been on my platform before. Behind the Walls, Conviction Behind the Walls. Now she has written a new book, Conviction Beyond the Walls. She had been released from prison. Again, nobody but God stepped in that situation and caused her to be released from prison after 4 years of serving behind bars, but she was actually supposed to be served 40 years. Now she is an ambassador. She goes around mayors and governors in different states and different cities on behalf of the Lord, that God is working a mighty work in her life. So she's got Tashana Stevenson out of Marion, Alabama, will be my guest on this Saturday night. So you want to tune in and be blessed by this awesome offer that God is doing a mighty work through her. So continue to be blessed of the Lord. Until next time, know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. Until then, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.